Dit is een podcast van operamagazine.nl. Nederland kent drie grote operagezelschappen, geografisch gespreid en verschillend in organisatie. De Nationale Reisopera in Enschede, Opera Zuid in Maastricht en de Nederlandse Opera in Amsterdam. De komende weken maakt Opera Magazine een tournee langs de drie operahuizen om even bij te praten met de mensen die de programmering verzorgen en om een blik te werpen op het programma van het nieuwe seizoen. In deel 1 gaan we langs bij de Nederlandse Opera. Het hoofd artistieke zaken, Hein Mulders, werd deze zomer opgevolgd door Jesús Iglesias Noriega. Door wie?
Jesús Iglesias Noriega. Is that more or less the right way? How would you pronounce your own name?
Well, it's Jesús. This is all you have. Jesús Iglesias Noriega. Mm-hmm. That's the right name.
If people know you very well, how would they call you in a short way?
Jesús, yeah, Jesús.
And yeah, Iglesias is the second name.
Iglesias is you know, we have two second names. Iglesias comes from the father. It's my father's family name, and Noriega is my mother's family name. And we use both of them. So it's many people confuse Iglesias as a name. It's not. It's a second name. Ah. It's a family name. And we use the one of the father and the one of the mother.
We zitten in het muziektheater. Aan de achterkant, waar de kantoren van de organisatie zijn. Er wordt duidelijk niet met geld gesmeten als het gaat om de kantoorinrichting. Er staat wel een Nespresso-apparaat.
Let's say, there's nothing sort of personal in here, only a coffee machine. Ah. I, you know, because I'm a...
Is it the Nespresso one?
Yeah, I drink a lot of coffee.
Noriega heeft bij het Teatro Colón in Buenos Aires gewerkt en was de laatste 13 jaar in dienst van het Teatro Real in Madrid. Hij groeide op in de buurt van het Noord-Spaanse Oviedo. Daar ontstond zijn liefde voor de muziek en daar hoorde hij zijn eerste opera's.
Were your parents opera lovers?
My mother is more a music lover than an opera lover. I mean, I have to say, I was born in an area where, you know, it's a very live musical activity. And there has been always quite popular or short opera season. Places where Montserrat Caballé, José Carreras, Plácido Domingo only once, but also more in the past, Tebaldi del Monaco. And then, you know, so for instance, José Carreras was a singer I heard very frequently. It was my first Rodolfo, my first Don Jose, my first Alfredo in Traviata. So I always like Carreras, but I always say also maybe for a very personal reason, because it was the tenor of my childhood, you know. So I used to go to all the musical activity, piano. I liked very much piano recitals, and I studied to study piano, and I got my piano degree in the conservatory. So that gave also a sort of more
connection
to music. So that's the
That's how it happened in the first place.
Yeah.
But you studied, you're a master of business administration. How did that turn occur in your life?
Well, you know, of course you do the conservatorium since you are a child, so you are then after you do primary school at the same time, you do high school, and then you start to go to the university. And, I have to say, in a certain moment, I had the feeling I like more and more to work on the music business, and maybe not so much on the as an artist, you know.
Does it still help you in your professional life to be a master of business administration?
Very much. Yeah.
In what way?
Also, because then also you have, in the way of management, at the end you manage things, you know, and you spend a lot of energy managing people, managing my team. But then also more and more our position, or my position, I say our because it's not my, you know, but our position in every theater is more and more related to the budget, to the economic situation, to the so at the end you have always to have that in mind, that you are managing a business, that you are not, how to say, you are a manager, you are not an artist. Artist is the one who goes on the stage. I manage, and I have to do all the work properly for the artist to, I mean, to get the best show possible on a stage and for the artist to work in the best conditions possible. But I'm a manager at the end.
You worked quite a long time at the Teatro Real in Madrid. Was there a life-changing moment in a performance or in a production?
You know, I, for instance, I will always admire Plácido Domingo. I mean, he has been there every season. And he's an artist that you admire in the way he's... I mean, being such a name, having such a long career, not having to demonstrate anything. I mean, when you show his way of debuting Bayaset in Tamerlano, for instance, it was a role debut for him. He was the one who worked most in the production. I mean, it was incredible, you know. So, so in a way, you, I mean, that contact with Mr. Domingo has been always, and you know, such a nice person, such a simple person, such an easy person in a way, you know, sometimes. So, and he did great performances like Valkyrie Sigmund with Walter Meyer, the production of Robert Carson of Dialogue de Carmelit that came from here, from Amsterdam.
Poulenc.
Poulenc, and that was so, something really, I mean, really special. Or the Katia Cabanavo with Carita Matila. I mean, that's, that was...
You had some big stars in
something,
those days.
Something important, you know.
Let's talk about this new season. There's 12 or 10 productions coming this year. What would you advise for this season for me to watch as the first opera I will ever watch in a theater?
Okay, well, there are, let's say there are a couple of operas in the season very much for that profile. If you have the perfect... who I think most of the people got introduced to the opera maybe through Traviata, which is in the season, but also Magic Flute. I mean, the Summer Flute, I think it's also a nice way of going into the... so I guess Traviata or Summer Flute are the perfect titles to, well, to make a first approach to, to the opera.
But now I'm the snob. I live in the Grachtengordel. I've seen... almost everything. I've been to the Met, I've been to the Royal Opera House, I've been even to Madrid with Teatro Royal. I've seen it all. So is there anything that might surprise or interest me in the program?
Yeah, of course. Well, of course. So I don't know if you will have still the chance to see such Kreber, you know, you, because you will have very few chances to see the piece, you know. It has been played maybe 10 years ago or around 10 years ago in Frankfurt, and it's a piece that is not frequently played.
Very few recordings.
Yeah,
exist.
So that's always a nice occasion to hear a new piece, to have your opinion of a piece that is not often played. And that's, so Sachs-Greber has the, but also Written in the Skin, which is a world premiere. It was just premiered this summer in Aix-en-Provence, and it was a really one, it was a real event. And it was one of the recent world premieres around the world that has, I think it was unanimous in the way. I mean, the premiere, I have to say, it was full of people from the different theaters, were different directors, different conductors, and we were all really enthusiastic about this piece. And that means opera is alive, you know, that you can have a world premiere that, you know, first it has been co-produced by several theaters, which assures the... you know, the production or the title to be played in different places for different audience, for the French audience in Aix, for the British one, for the Dutch one in Amsterdam, or again in Toulouse, in Italy, in Florence. So that's
it will travel a lot.
But I have to say, it's just, I mean, in musical terms, in casting terms, in production terms, it has been really an event, and that's something, I mean, someone has to. You know, to see. And then also, you know, the starting of The Ring, again, the Amsterdam Ring is quite, you know, famous production. Of
the Pierre Audi production,
But then also, you know, of course, the big challenge of doing Guillaume Tell, Rossini, a big Rossini, is really challenging for everyone, for the orchestra, for the choir, for the singers, for the production. It's a big, and also Meister singer, you know, you don't do Meister singer every day. So you, for those people, even if they are so used to see opera, I think they have many occasions to come and you know, and to enjoy. And we always enjoy once again a Traviata also,
mm-hmm.
or a sound flute
that can't be missed. Yeah,
yeah. So it's I think it's a really and also that in Venice you have. So it's I think it's a very challenged season,
mm-hmm.
with many different styles, many different so really well balanced season,
yeah.
And which everyone can enjoy pretty much, I guess. Programming is really difficult because you have to do 10 titles, and you probably, when you start to work, you have 25 on the things you want to do. It's like 25. How you reduce 25 to 10? We are always unfair. We leave always something out, not very fairly, I would say.
If there was one criticism about the planning of this season, it might have been that there is quite a lot of Wagner in the Wagner year 2013, but there's only a Traviata from Verdi.
Well, I don't know. To be honest, I was not in the process of designing the season.
No, it's true.
But of course, when you start The Ring, you do Meistersinger. Then you do Guillaume Tell as maybe as one of these big Italian stuff. Then, maybe Traviata is... but I think also Verdi has been quite well presented here. I mean, you have...
There was already announced for the season 13-14 is Arabella by Strauss. Is there a Verdi to be expected in the next season?
Yeah.
And do you have titles?
Well, I think it's better just to keep it. But it's Verdi in the next season, yeah.
I could always try.
Yes.
How do you keep in contact with the audience? Because this is behind the scenes. We're in the office. We're near the stage. There's all the production going on. But there's every night, almost every night, there's a big audience coming, paying tickets. How do you know what they expect from the Nederlandse opera? How do you keep in touch with their opinions?
Well, of course, I'm new in the Netherlands. So it's, for me, how to say, in a certain way, it's... difficult that point, or still difficult. Of course, it needs some time. You know, it needs some time to get to know people and to get how the reaction. Of course, you feel the reaction when you come to the performance and what the applause or is. But but then, of course, it's nice to have the opinion of the personal opinion of different people.
Yeah. Do you think it's important?
Very. Yeah. At the end, you are. You work also for the, I mean, not also, you work for the audience. I mean, it's, you need to, I mean, to give what the audience like or the audience is looking for, but also at the same time, it's not that we have to give always what they are expecting, because also you have to stimulate the audience presenting different things or presenting a piece that is familiar to them with a different concept on the stage. So we are stimulating on that side, or stimulating the audience through new titles like a world premiere, or like getting an unused title or a certain part of the repertoire they are not so familiar with. So I mean, it's not the point that you have to give the audience Traviata, Rigoletto and Butterfly.
I think there is a group of people that have left the Nederlandse opera because they found it too intellectual, too much strong lights, grey clothing, difficult, extreme performances. Is there for you a challenge to get those people back in the theatre?
Yeah, of course. I mean, it's always a challenge that you always try to get people, people who are coming to the Nederlandse opera to come back. I mean, but we have to try those people to come back. We have to try people who never came to come back. Well, not to come back, sorry, to come, people, and to keep the audience, you know, the current audience in time. So, but then I think you keep it giving, as you say, a little bit of, you have to have the intellectual part, you have to have a sort of more classical part in the repertoire, sometimes through the titles, sometimes through the productions, as we say, we have to work on the balance, on the right balance, that, you know, that it can, you know, in a way attract different type of audiences, mm-hmm. but also the audience, I think it could be always, it's always nice that the audience is open, you know, open to new things, open to new new concepts of the traditional opera, to new operas, and they will can also get many surprises, nice surprises.
We already mentioned Hein Mulders, who was the man who did artistic affairs before you. He was known for programming quite a lot of Dutch new singers in smaller roles in opera productions. Can we expect something from you in the same way? Yes. Are you
of
curious?
Course. I mean, I tell you, in Spain, we always try to give the Spanish singer first. We have to support the local artists at the same time. I have to say, Hein, well, which is a good friend, and I always admire his work. He, well, some of the singers I know, some of the singers he gave me his input, mm-hmm. and I will have also for example this season with different titles where there are a lot of people involved. I will have also the chance to start to hear them and to you know, and that has to be a policy to try to keep in the house, you know, to support the Dutch singers in sometimes small roles, medium roles, title roles. You know, I think it's is one of the things the house has to do. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's and then the fact that I'm not Dutch does not mean I don't have to or I should leave this policy. You know, we have to keep it and to and then to help them to grow and then to it's, I mean, it's a good policy and should be you know. Shouldn't be changed.
So we still get new Dutch singers
I hope
on
so,
the stage
yeah.
here
I
in
hope
the
so.
Opera.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you very much for your time. I wish you a very inspired and very interesting time in Amsterdam. Lots of success.
Thank you very much.
Dit was een podcast van operamagazine.nl.